Let's get our Future Tuesday on. This is KSCO.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Yes, and here we are in the studio. Actually, in the studio. Mrs. Future and I, reporting to you from downtown Santa Cruz in the KSCO on the water here. Beautiful sunny day today. Quite a shift from yesterday's foggy weather.
Right. Yeah, if you're a human being who doesn't ever listen to the news or ever listen to the radio and you just go outside, it looks like a gorgeous spring day where everything could not be better.
Nature seems very happy.
Very happy. She likes the humans in this new slowed down pace that was probably normal, probably not that long ago. Really, well, before the acceleration of technology of the last 100 years.
Industrial Revolution.
Always walked places for their health and probably spent more time doing everything.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot less technology, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Or industrial pollution, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So it's looking good out there. You're still allowed to walk, so I would suggest that.
Yeah, as long as you don't have some upstart young cops who are trying to prove themselves, giving you a hassle just because they think you need to wear a mask or some stupid thing.
Why would you wear a mask in your car? I don't know. That seems like that'd be isolated.
Well, you know, the whole thing, there's this phrase that a friend of ours says, that you can't rape the willing. And what that translates to is you don't have to use the strong arm of law enforcement if people are willing to comply of their own free will. And I think that it's really important, especially that our law enforcement officers get that we, the people, are not the enemy. Right.
Well, I think the experienced one have no trouble with that. It's the young ones that have a problem
right,
with wielding authority.
They don't know their own limits and boundaries, and they're trying to prove themselves. Sure.
And American cops have always been so much more authoritarian than the Brits, for example, which try to engage you in a conversation about why they stopped you. You know, more reason, more respect.
Yeah, it almost seems like American cops just live in fear because we have such a divisive culture.
It's evolved.
But as human beings, we're in this unprecedented time of talking about coming together and resting on our humanity and our kindness and values that have kind of been underplayed for decades. Really?
Kindness. I keep hearing that.
Kindness is who we really are. Kindness is who human beings are meant to be. Oh, my favorite. I told you I wanted to talk about Picard, right?
That's true. Yeah,
the series Picard.
We actually signed up for CBS All Access and been watching Picard.
Right. And this is not exactly a spoiler, but there is one moment where Picard points out this realization that in dealing with the synthetic lives, i.e. the AIs, they are like children. As are, you know, kind of rookie cops.
Our children.
They know
them.
What the rules are.
The synthetics.
And they have a sort of simplistic understanding of how to follow the letter of the law, but they don't have a sophisticated understanding about why they're doing what they're doing. And so there is a tendency to act in a fearful way and be authoritarian instead of acting in a compassionate way and be persuasive. You achieve the same end. But one of them, you're both on the same team. And one of them, somebody's pulling their weight because they think that they're more important than you and they can boss you around.
And so you end up creating a little bit more stress in the system as a result of that. And
yeah.
It adds up over time.
Anybody who has good self-esteem responds to somebody trying to boss them around by becoming obstinate. You know, it sort of turns into a pissing contest.
Yeah, yeah. So you like Picard as a role model for...
I do.
Wisdom.
He defends ambiguity. He defends being strong when you're attacked, but being compassionate when you are facing someone who's been victimized.
For the uninitiated, this is Jean-Luc Picard, who was the captain in Star Trek Next Generation, most popular in the 80s and 90s.
Right. And then we just watched the new series called Picard, which I heartily recommend. to anyone who CBS. Would like a great mythology that is relevant to the modern era.
Yeah.
And our struggles with how to deal with AI and human creativity and the whole question of evolving future better versions of ourselves, and how this brings up fears for all of us current generation that will ultimately be obsolete because the future is always getting better.
Pretty much. And we do have some better news for you. We do have, if any luck, we'll have a really fun guest on it after 3.
Oh, good. I hope so.
Our mystery guest, we shall see.
Okay. Mystery to us until they're until actually happens, here. Then we'll tell you.
And we also might have Bobby joining us at some point with some stories from San Francisco.
Yeah,
he's on,
on
COVID-2. I mean, excuse me, Opal 2.
Opal 2. Well, I better turn it on. It's not even here. I can't even check it yet.
I know. Well, you know, keep going. And we've got some stories to share with you. Ways of thinking about this whole thing that I think you might find quite interesting.
Okay.
And maybe even useful.
Sounds good to me. So, where to begin?
Well, we'll begin at the beginning, shall we?
All right.
Okay, the top of the news, top of the stories. We have a few new stories.
DrFutureShow.com.
We'll cover this one.
In case you're new to the show, we post links there every week.
That's correct, Mrs. Future. And our first link is about how Germany is testing a tuberculosis drug as a treatment for coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Microbiologists in Germany, they have an updated version of a 100-year-old TB vaccine that may work as an intermediate treatment. And there's a big CNN report on that, which we have connected at the site here.
Okay. This is a CNN report. And what did you think was most interesting about that?
Well, the most interesting thing is the Wired article about how the shift in thinking about how to approach a disease. And I think that's worthy of getting into, but it's a bigger topic. It's what makes the most sense to me at this point. It's to think out of the usual box of today's thinking and look at the larger structure that we find ourselves in. What's the bigger story?
So you're really using the access to all of the great information that is available through a search engine to educate yourself about a myriad of possible approaches to maintaining your health, to understanding viruses, to taking actions that are specifically tested for other things, but that may prove effective for the COVID virus. Hacking your own body here.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. But as I said, I'll be happy to lay it out for you after the break.
All right, let's go to the break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Future Show.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. Another way to think about this, it goes back to a 19th century metaphor in medicine, was the metaphor of seed and soil.
Oh, tell me about that.
It's typically attributed to Stephen Paget as a 19th century British physician.
Mm-hmm.
He had been studying records of patients with metastatic breast cancer. And the cancers of the breast, he saw, were far more likely to spread to some organs more than others. He looked at about 735 cases. 241 had spread to the liver, but only 17 to the spleen. And breast cancer often ended up in the bones, but never in the bones of the hands or the feet. Never in the hands or the feet. So he had written, when a plant goes to seed, its seeds are carried in all directions, but they can only live and grow if they fall on congenial soil.
I see. And so thus the metaphor of the soil for your health. So congenial soil for a virus, for instance, would be the virus thrives.
We've heard of the biological terrain, for example.
Sure. Yeah, like there's a lot of people in the alternative health world.
Health world really focuses a lot on this.
pH, for instance, which means producing of hydrogen, is all about making sure that your biological terrain has plenty of hydrogen available to neutralize the free radicals. That's kind of a thumbnail sketch.
Yeah, exactly. And those things are well known and can be used, unlike vaccines, which is going to take like 18 months to create the vaccine. You never have vaccines available the beginning of a new pandemic.
Well, actually, you may have them available, but they're not tested and they're not proven
they might not
to be
work,
safe
and you need
or
to do controls and the double-blind studies and all that to really show efficacy. And it takes time, right?
There's, it takes time to test them on people and see what the results are.
But what this idea is that, okay, you're dealing with like a fighter in a ring is another analogy. You're going to bout against the virus. And so how do you improve your chances? And the bell goes, you've got to have high metabolism. Your energy's got to be up.
Mm-hmm.
So they find metabolism in various ways of enhancing your metabolism really helps in fighting disease.
So what would be an example of that?
Well,
like fasting?
Metabolism be like a good exercise.
Oh, I see. You want to accelerate your basic throughput.
Yeah, you get your energy flowing through your body.
Uh-huh. Okay, well.
So that's a good one.
So jogging is probably good for
your health.
Whatever
works for you. All of them. Walks mm-hmm. outside and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are other things that are directly related. Like, for example, you have the thickness of the hairs in your lungs.
Your hair follicles?
Your hair.
Oh, you mean in your lungs, the alveoli.
Yeah, the alveoli in your lungs.
Oh, you're talking about the hairs that help you breathe.
Yeah, help you breathe.
Not
yeah,
the hairs on your head
yeah.
that might turn gray if you're stressed out.
Yeah, there are ways of enhancing their health.
Mm-hmm. There
are old drugs that do all these little things that we know about.
Oh, so there's 100-year-old drugs that approach your health by giving you fatter lung hairs.
Make thicker mucus. You know, for
a thicker mucus. Now, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things like that. It's not like any one thing. There are a lot of ways in which you can enhance your ability to fight a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And increasing your breathing exercises, you know, help you breathe
more
is a good thing
mm-hmm.
to do.
Sure.
That we know of.
Breathe deep.
Yeah.
Help your cells respire.
Yeah. But even in the medical world, which is focused more on the pharmacology of it all, there are other things. There's like blood pressure medications known as angiotensin receptor blockers.
Hmm.
And diabetes treatment, there's metformin. I mean, they're far from miracle cures. If anything, they're the opposite of miracle cures. They're old, they're well-studied molecules. If they help at all with COVID-19, probably only to a modest effect.
Well, they're not directed at the virus. They're directed at your body.
Yeah, exactly. You're at the terrain, at the soil.
Mm-hmm.
But a modest effect could make the difference between life and death for tens of thousands of people.
Well, as we like to say here, if you focus on your immune system, then probably the virus will not take you out. You'll be one of the 90% of people who have mild symptoms as opposed to
yeah, and if you're on the edge, like the idea is that you don't want to have to reach the point of being intubated and needing a...
Oh my God, can you imagine how desperate you have to be
ventilator.
When you go to the hospital and then that's your best option?
No, that's pretty far. But
that's
so
sick.
And that's why there's been such a focus on the hydroxychloroquine and such, because that treatment doesn't stop you from having all the symptoms of the virus, but it does seem to help enough to be able to not need to go to a ventilator.
Right, right. According to the blog post from Rudy Giuliani,
yeah,
where he interviewed a New York doctor,
and that's an example.
700 patients avoid being intubated.
Yeah, exactly. That's another example of using generic drugs out there right now
mm-hmm.
To just give you a little bit of an edge in the fight against the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing to remember. All holistic health community, of course, sees ways of maintaining optimal health in advance, preventative medicine ideas. And mainstream medicine is now beginning to apply those same ideas, but to generic medicines that can just give you a little bit more support during the actual battle of a disease.
Mm-hmm. You know, this COVID virus might really be a very evolutionary time in the whole approach to medicine and health. Just like germ theory was a radical new idea, say 150 years ago, and people didn't even believe in germs, and they didn't believe that you should target an invisible world and chemically try and kill it. That used to be something that people would just
discard.
Sure.
It's still kind of weird, invisible worlds.
So now, if we look at what's going on, the COVID virus world, we're still dealing with the CDC, which is basically a statistics organization, and they're responsible for public health by looking at statistical spreads of infection. But they're not looking at what may be the new frontier of health, which is very personalized medicine and very unique approaches to personal health rather than a one-size-fits-all, such as mass vaccinations, right, or flu shots. I mean, that's where a certain chemical match with a certain virus is meant to retard that virus. However, there's no testing necessarily being done on all the different types of people and how they react to it. And yet, the future of medicine is going to go towards what do individuals do with these different approaches?
Personalized medicine.
Yeah, personalized medicine is really at a seminal point here. It's just becoming the accepted paradigm. And it's replacing the old one of one pill fits all.
Yes, and also we're becoming aware of the terrain, the soil, as well as targeting the disease itself. Mm-hmm. It's like a fire. You know, fire needs the triangle to exist. You need three things. Same thing here. You need the virus and you need the environment in which it lives. And both of those things affect the functionality of.
Right. And there's so much information available through our smartphones, through our computers, through our various search engines.
It's a question of getting the good information that works for you specifically based on your system.
Yeah, right.
Which requires a little bit of self-awareness in your own health and your own ability to tune into what works and what doesn't work for you.
Right. Well, and it also requires that you know who to trust, you know what experts are speaking for your benefit and what experts are manipulating you for their benefit. It's important to have a little bit of media sophistication as well.
It does. Yeah, I like to go through these things, see what's out there. We got a caller, Mrs. Future?
Yeah. You want to say hello to Wendy, who's in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Wendy, or Wendell. Wendell, welcome to the show.
Wendell. All right. Hey,
Wendell. Hi,
Wendell.
Hi, I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I just wanted to run something past you. It might sound a little far-fetched, but you guys are used to far-fetched ideas.
Sure.
We love them.
Have them for lunch.
Okay, you know, we lost the dinosaurs to a meteor, right?
Yes, Tunguska or something, right?
No, that was
that's
another one.
That's a more recent one. Yeah. But anyway, mass extinction.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was thinking about it. It's just an idea. I could be way off base. They have determined that this is pretty much an airborne virus. That's one of the things that we do seem to know about this.
Droplets, sneezing, coughing, kind of thing.
Right. Particulates in the air of some kind that are lending themselves to this because they're saying, you know, the points of entry are the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose. Mm-hmm. So what I'm wondering is, I can't remember the name, and I don't even know if they gave it a name, but it seemed like about a few, I don't even know how long, I think it's been about a month. There was a large meteor that entered the Earth's atmosphere. Hmm. And it had photos of it. I don't know if you guys saw that. And I can't even remember where it came in. I want to say the Soviet Union, but I don't know.
Anyway, I think you're right. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. So what I'm wondering is, if it entered the Earth's atmosphere and it was disintegrating as it reached the ground, I'm wondering if there's any possibility that maybe some of the debris from the meteorite mixed in with the different layers of atmosphere, and if maybe we're breathing in some type of meteoric dust, and that maybe this dust has this contagion virus. And the reason I'm speculating on all this is because, you know, a lot of people have theorized that Earth began, our life forms began from things that were left from meteorites entering the atmosphere and landing on the ground and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think the Andromeda strain was about a virus that came from outer space.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought on that topic, especially there's a whole theory called panspermia, which is about how life spread through the galaxy through this means, through meteors and asteroids hitting other planetary bodies and such.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say is we know so limited. We know what's happened in the last, say, 60 million years, roughly.
Yeah.
But if you go past that, way deep into the Earth's beginnings, we don't know how many times something has traveled through space, entered our atmosphere, they talk about a lot of these lost civilizations, the Anasazi and a lot of the different ones.
Yes, ancient aliens. Yeah.
Yeah, and they still don't know what it was. Was it a disease or what was it that took all these civilizations and they just suddenly seemed to vanish? Maybe this is something that correlates with that somehow. Since we don't know our early history, maybe this is something that's happened many times.
Yeah, well, pandemics are well known to have happened throughout species history, going way back. And sometimes they result in mutations that gave us an edge in the future.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm thinking, too, if it introduced life, if that's what was responsible for introducing life on our planet...
Well, many think so. Yes. I'm going to, as a matter of fact, our mystery guest on the second hour be happy to talk about that. He's an expert on the origin of life.
Excellent. Because, you know, the give and the take. In other words, it might have introduced life, but it might also be responsible for...
For extincting it. Yes, it's true.
And mutating us.
And mutating us in new and interesting ways.
We are very interrelated with the space debris that hits our atmosphere.
It's very connected. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Wendell.
Thanks, Wendell. Reno, you're from Nevada. This is Future. So,
I am. That's my home state. Trees went back. Me and Dell were singing.
Little runaway. I was blind. Okay, well, welcome back to the show. And we have Billy Sunshine.
Hey, hi. Bill. I was thinking about you. How are you holding up with this social distancing?
Well, my health is good. I cry a lot.
Oh, poor
Billy. Well, the idea that the concept that people can't say goodbye to their loved ones, that people have to die alone, is killing me.
I bet. Sure.
Yeah. And I'm alone. I don't have my dog or my wife, so that's a drag. Yeah. But
at least you got to say goodbye.
Absolutely. Yeah. Three things. Number one, about the meteorites.
Yeah.
Only extremophiles could manage that trip. You know, it's very hot coming through our atmosphere. So this virus, for example, does not survive moderate heat.
No, that's right. Yeah. It would not be an extremophile.
Except for what a killer it is. This seems like this virus, it's easy enough to kill if you wash your hands and observe social distancing and wait long enough.
Well, right? The thing is that, you know,
it's not going to make it through space.
Yeah, at least yet. You know, we've got these CRISPR-Cas9 tools. They're getting more sophisticated all the time. I don't think it's that far out to start thinking of designer viruses.
Oh, sure, with their own little spaceships that protect them in space.
Yeah, I mean, not that.
Terrorist and CRISPR. What a great combination.
But you see, Billy, what we need, though, is we need the consciousness to deal with this kind of creativeness that we'll have. We have the tools for playing God, so we need the consciousness of God.
Exactly. Science got ahead of our soul.
Yeah, we do. Right. Well, we need to catch up, and how do we do that?
Yeah, we need intelligence to become wisdom.
Yeah.
Another question I have for you is, what games do you recommend for the Oculus Quest? Perhaps you should send me an email.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We have a lot of favorites.
Well, you have your favorite.
BIOS. Yeah. We like Neos.
Yeah, Neos VR is really good.
Neos VR is one of my very favorites.
Neos.
Neos.
Okay.
Neos VR. And there's also one that you are smacking these balls.
Oh, lightsaber.
Lightsaber.
S-A-B-E-R.
Yeah, that is the best exercise. You'll get such a fun workout, and you won't even realize how much time goes by.
That's what I'm looking for.
We also have one that we put on our stationary bicycle so that we can do all of these stationary bicycle tours. That's really fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And do you have a list of your recommended ways to what we should be taking and using to empower ourselves during this time?
Yeah.
We've done a couple of shows on it. We haven't actually
posted a list.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
we have Dr. Carl Merritt's list of stuff to do for
a local naturopath who we know and love.
Yeah, and he talks about all the basic stuff like vitamins A, C, D, 3.
All the mushrooms
that you can take. Yes, it's a very good holistic approach to it, and we have that on our links page.
Yeah.
At times like this, I believe you guys need another 2 hours a week.
Oh, thank you.
Will you do it?
You know, you just reminded me, Billy. I'm usually anti-social media. You know, I just find there's
very
too many
seldom
things
on Facebook
to pay attention to already. And Alan, does such a good job of keeping me posted. I have my own private Dr. Future show every day.
You're so lucky.
Yeah, I know. I feel that way. But I was thinking that I am so into Picard, and I was thinking of inviting people who wanted to do a Zoom call with me maybe like Thursday night. And I was going to post the Zoom call address on our Dr. Future Show Facebook page. So if you want to talk, do you do Zoom? Is that within your range? Is that
something? Oh, yeah, I do Zoom. I haven't done Picard yet because there's just so much trying to catch up on the other things. I intend to get there someday.
All right. Well, my goal is to come up with a little Picard think tank group to appreciate the movie and also to talk about it as a metaphor for the times that we're in. So
I love it.
I recommend that you binge it.
How many people can do Zoom at once?
It's pretty high. I think probably a 500, maybe 1,000.
Yeah, 1, we've had 500.
Oh,
if you get a pro account. I mean, the free one is limited to 45 minutes and probably has an upper range of how many people. But, you know, you can facilitate big crowds with it. It's a real powerful webcasting application.
We got some great tools for having to stay home. That's true.
Yeah.
Do you have an Oculus Quest?
I do. I just got it.
Wow.
Ooh, okay. Well,
you can meet us in virtual reality. We have we have two Oculus systems.
Happy to chat with you offline about this, Billy.
Yeah.
Okay, doll. Anytime. I love your show.
Oh, thanks. Glad you're out there.
Okay, kids. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
You too.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Golden Moore sends us a link. Orthomolecular COVID-19 treatment and prevention starts today. Dive into specifics of which nutrient to use for any condition. A video starts at 5 p.m. today. I guess we'll have him talk to us about that when
really?
He sees it.
Okay. Well, Golden Moore, if you're listening, please give us a call and tell us what you think.
Vitamin Masterclass with Andrew Saul. Yes, not all of us can go, but you can go and tell us about it. Okay? Because we already know a lot about
vitamins.
We'll
get a download.
And
We like vitamin
C. You can always know more, I suppose.
Vitamin D, vitamin A, and a little bit of quercetin to keep the lungs healthy and keep you from overreacting to the things you're allergic to. And, of course, Youngevity, Tangy Tangerine for your Mighty 90 nutritional essential nutrients.
And for the shaman mediums out there among you, there's also vitamin ayahuasca.
Oh, there's a link. Tell us about that. Your vitamin ayahuasca link.
Well, okay. I'll just give you a thumbnail view of it because it goes into some detail. To try to talk about something as big as ayahuasca in a few seconds is ridiculous. But the fundamental idea is that you have this, you know, wall with ayahuasca, which is a combination of two plants, a root and a leaf. You actually have this communion with nature that goes on a very deep level where you actually feel like you're talking to the plants. And some people have experiences of actually talking to, like, Mother Gaia herself and having profound internal dialogues about your own health, you know, in your own system, and you feel like you're getting feedback as to what you're doing and how you could improve it, and it can go quite deep. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that you would actually speak to the Mother Gaia about what she has to tell you about your own health and the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And then focus on that for a while, and she'll get into the reasons why we're dealing with this at this time. Like a lot of people feel like Mother Gaia is putting a stop sign up for a month or so, just to slow us down a little bit and reflect upon our world.
Sure. I think it's definitely putting everyone into their own reflective bubble.
I mean, are we on a hamster wheel or what? Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it this really what we want to do with our time? You know, the short amount of time all of us have on this planet?
100 years. How are you going to use it?
She said, hey, take a minute.
How are you going to spend your time?
Breathe, okay.
We have Golden Moore on the phone.
Okay, all right. That's where you mentioned the vitamin, the master vitamin class.
That's right.
Golden Moore, is that what you...
You must have been listening. We asked you to call, and here you are.
Hey, Michael.
From the here and now, it is Master Now.
All right.
Hi. Of course, how could I ever miss the futures in the now?
Yeah.
Well, it's been always so nice to know that you're out there, honey, making us feel appreciated and celebrated like you always do.
Yeah.
Listening to you is always a delight. So, yes, if you put this link up in your special place.
Yes.
This is something that will be available for 24 hours. There are so 9 modules, and because I was so excited by watching that vitamin movie a few weeks back, we actually bought this series, mm-hmm. and I've listened to everything maybe 3 times or more. And everyone thinks they know what to do with their vitamins to stay healthy.
Well, there's certainly a lot out there on that. I mean, there's a huge amount of information on
vitamins. It's hard to settle on any one thing. There's so much overwhelming information.
Why would I sign up for a video that I have to pay for to learn more about what I already know about?
Yeah, there's so much free stuff.
Really, it's free, but you have to do it. You have to do it at a certain time. It's not on YouTube or you
can watch. Hold on, before you go criticizing, what do you like about it, Mr. Moore? You are one of the most knowledgeable vitamin people I know. I have to tell people. I know you read this stuff constantly. You are up on all kinds of things that most people don't even know about.
And you know they're not just trying to sell their brand of vitamins.
And they don't have a brand of vitamins to sell, first of all. Secondly, I've put 70 or 80 hours into the COVID-19 in particular and 40 years into health and life extension. Now, all of that, you can say, but he doesn't have a PhD.
No, I know you're genuinely interested in this topic and you're researching it, and I respect that. So I'm kind of curious. That's why I asked what you've discovered so far.
We're going to go to a break in about a minute. So give us a minute, and then we'll have some more after the break.
Here's a challenge for Dr. Future.
Yeah.
I challenge you to watch just the first one, and then you tell me.
But look,
what's the link?
I can't watch exactly at 5. I'm somewhere else at that moment.
You have 48 hours.
What's the link?
48 hours.
What are we promoting here, Mr. Moore?
I sent it to you. Yeah, it's in there. It's in there.
Is it in today's time?
Okay, and I'll learn something about vitamins I don't already know?
Absolutely. I absolutely guarantee it.
All right. We're going to go to a break.
For instance, do you have stress? Do you have depression? Do you have arthritis? Do you have, I'll stop now. But
I see.
Go down the list.
This is like a shotgun approach.
No, it's very, very detailed. But you actually have to listen to understand.
I see. And related to your own system, I guess. That'd be part of it. All right, we're talking to Michael Moore. Go to Moore. We'll be right back after the break. This is the Dr. and Mrs. Future show. Okay, hold on there, Michael.
Talk it over.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. We're just talking to Golden Moore about a video that's going to be online today, about April 7th. And it's supposed to be about vitamins and new ways of thinking about vitamins. Is Michael still on the line?
Yes, indeed. He sure is. Say hi.
Okay, hi, Mike.
We are here and now.
Okay, good. So this allows you to deal with a whole range of things that you might have as an issues like depression or allergies or something that takes you out of your center. This video is supposed to help you be able to see what might work for you. Am I getting that correct?
This is the first of 9.
9 videos.
It'll be going for a while.
Uh-huh.
And because I was so excited by the first movie that I watched by this guy, I went ahead and bought them myself, so that I could get a preview.
So it's like a series of videos you buy? Is that what first one's free?
Nope. They're free for everyone right now. I knew they were free. I bought them anyway. And so I have spent, like I said, many hours going through them. I used the MP3 files that I was able to get and the PDF sheet. But not catching COVID is just the very beginning. And I'm going to say that the best thing that's happened to me from this whole episode is learning about this series and the associated website that sells nothing. They don't sell anything other than if you want to buy the videos they're giving you for free, they would like that.
Okay. So it's
a brand of vitamin. In fact, they teach you where to get usually they or some of their links will take you to where you can get the least expensive brands, and they're not all the same. They give you the least expensive way and the healthiest way to stay healthy.
Yeah, and go to Costco and get some Costco vitamins and still be healthy.
Yeah, they usually take you to Amazon because of the social distancing thing. But the bottom line is all they're doing is saying this of the 5 kinds of vitamin C, works best for this reason in this area. That one works best for that reason in the other area. Sodium ascorbate is usually better than ascorbic acid. Why is that? Well, check it out and find out. Now, that's just the beginning for the virus. If you take a look at what else is offered, it turns out that depression, no one knows this, but the guy who started Alcoholics Anonymous was quite depressed after he stopped alcohol, as were most of the people who joined. And over two-thirds of them were able to get off their meds using one cheap vitamin at some megadoses.
Oh, so megadoses are in as part of the regimen here. Now, does he talk? From what I can see, he's Andrew Saul. Andrew Saul is the name of the guy. He's a vitamin teacher, yeah. 40 years, how to use vitamins instead of drugs.
Right. And he references 50 years plus worth of the very well-credentialed doctors. There's two Nobel Prize-winning episodes in this group. There are a dozen well-credentialed, highly regarded, and off-quoted 40 years ago doctors. And you would be surprised at what they have had 100% success in curing. Tetanus is one of them.
Interesting.
Tetanus is one of them. That's just one of them. So is polio. Except that nobody learns about these things.
Well, now, he probably doesn't do classic double-blind experiments, you know.
This has all been done, Dr. Future.
Yeah?
If you take a look at the links that are associated with all of this, you will see the double-blind studies, the peer-reviewed research, 50 years of it. And the reason we don't know about it is because we would use less drugs, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
So it's competitive with the big pharma.
That's what's so beautiful about it. If you actually take the time to dive deep into it and follow up, which I have, on some of the links and some of what he's talking about with these papers and research, you'll find this is genuine, real stuff. This is not just static out there trying to sell something different.
Okay, so I assume you're doing this yourself for your own treatment of COVID right now, right?
Absolutely.
Is it truly just a combination of vitamins in mega doses?
Of course, it is. No, you don't be stupid. You don't go eat off of someone else's plate using their utensils or things like that. But
right.
But the bottom line is, and if I was going to say just for the COVID, now that's, like I said, that is just the smallest little bit of what you'll learn.
Uh-huh.
I thought the stuff about depression and about ADHD for kids and about stress were even more important.
Yeah.
However, because a lot of people are going through that right now. If you, just for the COVID, the main thing to know is it's not how much vitamin C you take, it's how often you take it. And you have a choice between the two least expensive types. One is acidic, ascorbic acid. The other is less acidic. It's called sodium ascorbate, usually preferred. Both are cheap. And the idea is to take it every hour, just a gram or some amount. The idea is to go every hour because it's water soluble. It gets out of your system within a few hours. So the goal is to raise your levels and keep them raised. And when you get them high enough through IVs, that is when it starts actually killing cancer. And the reason it does that is because the difference between ascorbic acid, vitamin C, and glucose, which is the favorite food of cancer, is they're almost identical. There's four, I think it's hydrogen atoms different. And basically, the cancer doesn't know the difference. They gobble it up and then they die.
They think it's food and it's not.
But it takes high. But it takes like IV, you know, it takes a high amount to get into your system before it gets to them. Because the other organs want it too and they use it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it goes deep, deep, deep. And like I said, I've been studying this stuff for 40 years. And I learned more from this guy about how to really, really do this without any pharmaceuticals than I've learned from any other group. Mm-hmm.
That's a good testimony. Yeah, that's a good testimony for it. Thank you. Okay, yep. We'll put a link up on our links page to this and let's see what our audience thinks.
You know, me and Bobby and Gabby and a lot of the folks that call in there, we talk about this stuff all week long. We know how to clean masks now. You want to reuse your mask? There's three ways to do it. We know how to make our own masks now. There's ways to make those that are almost as efficient. It goes on and on and on. But
gotcha.
There you have it.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Golden Moore. Appreciate
thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
And Bobby's on to say thank you, too, for you. He was on the other
side. All right. All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Here and now. Always here and now.
All right.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, here and now. Master Now.
Bye.
And Bobby Wilder's on the line here. We're going to be bringing on our special guest after the hour, but I'm glad you're here to help join in.
Today we have great weather.
Yeah, it is nice here too. It's very sunny and beautiful. Quite mellow, actually.
I wanted to talk about this antibody test and what it would mean if everybody could get this cheap antibody.
Yes, I've heard about that, but I heard it's also not supposed to come out for at least another month or so, and it's supposed to be relatively cheap, right? And antibody testing.
I think it's Abbott Labs.
Abbott Labs, they have one. Is it specifically for the COVID-19 virus?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have the antigen test that's coming out very, very shortly. They're going to have 75 spots around California, which you can get tested for free.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the most important, if you do get it, you should actually donate your plasma because it has the antibodies that could help people that are sick. And you can transfer the plasma to the sick patient and then they would get immunity.
Really?
And then there's a couple labs that are doing, they're actually taking... They figured out the antibodies that worked for SARS-CoV-1 back in 2002, five of them.
And this is SARS-CoV-2 for those. So, yeah.
Two, and use those antibodies. So instead of getting a vaccine, they said that they could actually produce these antibodies directly, just like this plasma transfer, and you can get immunity without having to get a vaccine.
Huh.
And this might be a safer method than actually getting the vaccine.
So receiving an antibody later. Is...
These companies here in California, they've come up with these five antibodies that did work for SARS-1, and it does work for this new SARS-CoV-2 virus.
These are like new viruses?
Which is fascinating. So that they said that could be out within the summer. So we could get something instead of a vaccine
that will give you permanent immunity, like a vaccine.
Well, not
I mean, it will give you immunity like a vaccine
directly.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Okay, listen, we got to go to a break. We'll be back. We're talking to Bobby Wilder right now. We're having our mystery guest coming on after the turn of the hour.
And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Mrs. Future is here as well, as we have Bobby Wilder in San Francisco as our co-host for today. And Dr. Bruce Damer on the line, our mystery guest. I believe everyone is connected. Let's check it out. Are you there, Bruce?
I am here.
Oh, very good. And Bobby, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. The miracle of technology. Okay. So our audience knows Bruce. Many times he's been on our show over the years, our indie scientist, talking about everything from outer space to the origins of life. Today, Bruce, I'm kind of curious. You've made your living from doing talks and lectures around the world, and you must be grounded now. How's that working out for you?
You know, it's working out reasonably well, because I'm doing all these incredible online seminars and salons and things like that.
Ah, okay. So it has gone online for you.
Totally. Tonight we're doing a levity salon on the future of community after coronavirus. And
So you'll be able to actually connect with your extended family, your community, to see what best can be done. Like, I noticed that you sent some pictures of gardens. Is that one of the focuses?
Yeah, so we're really looking at if you have, say, 20 to 30% unemployment, what do people do? They have to come together and live in tighter communities, which is, of course, has been happening in the Bay Area for the last 10 years anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you think that all this being at home might result in some new and interesting thinking? Like, we had the microcomputer revolution in the 70s in the garages. All this leisure time is bound to do something, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's reintroducing people to each other.
Mm.
That we've been massively distracted by devices, travel, being out at jobs, and we're now looking each other in the eye, sitting at home saying, who are you?
He was sitting, looking each other in the eye over Zoom.
Yes.
as opposed to actually people you're living with. Oh, man. Well, yeah, okay, I can see that. I'm starting to meet people that I've known for a long time, and I'm seeing them again online. It's been quite informative. So what do you find you're going to be focusing on in this group initially? You know, you can't actually plant gardens together, but you can, I guess you can share tips and stuff, like a makers group.
Yeah, like very much. It's very much sort of makers group for living. So we've got Catherine here. We've got Shane, Dimitros, and they planted the gardens 2 days ago. And we've got Nelson here, and he's running a new power line because we have to support people's RVs and the new house here. And so we have to build our own power system from the resources we have so that if more people want to stay here longer, we can accommodate them.
That's right. You're not just in a normal burb house. You actually have a compound where you're sheltering in a place with several people, right?
Yeah. I bought this place in 1998 to prepare for something like this in the 2020s.
Mm. You mean like a small community that you live with?
Yeah. I wanted to grow old in community. It sucks to be alone when you're older. But I'd sort of sensed into the future and thought that the 2020s and 2030s were going to have these really big disruptions, these rolling disruptions. So I wanted to buy a property and prepare it for the disruptions.
Like this coronavirus.
Like this one, yeah. And ones to come, which will be much more severe.
Really? You mean this is just the tip of the iceberg?
Yeah, I mean, this is literally like the first 3 months of the Spanish flu in 1918. And
really?
The Spanish flu ran for a year and a half, and the death toll was somewhere between 100 and 300 million.
Yeah. Yeah, we're nowhere near that with this, though. I mean,
yeah, we're nowhere near that.
Do you really think it could get that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely. I mean, once you have these class of viruses,
coronaviruses are pretty common, right? Isn't the common cold a coronavirus?
Then you have.
Hold on, you're cutting out here. Bandwidth has never been so popular. Everyone's consuming it like there's no tomorrow, and yeah. I guess it makes sense. And in a way, a lot of the stuff that we're doing online has been thought about, and we've done this for years. But now the more and more people are trying it and starting to help it evolve. So it's kind of exciting in that respect, is that we've never seen online experiences become more so rich so fast.
Yeah,
you know, online education and such. Okay, so the pandemic you were talking about, you, in your estimation, could get a lot worse than it is now?
Yeah, this is very lightweight compared to pandemics of the human last 500 years or so. So this is very soft.
You mean like the Black Plague?
Yeah, Black Plague, any of the plagues, and certainly Spanish flu and other influenza outbreaks. This is a very light touch.
But it is global.
It is global, and of course, Spanish flu was global, and it traveled by steamship.
Much slower than today's
airplanes. Yeah.
Huh. So it's only a matter of time, then, you think, before we create some kind of mutation that's more deadly.
Yeah, there will be a COVID-21 or a COVID-24, but there will be other viral contagions. Because we're a population that's out of kilter. You know, when I was a kid, in Canada, the deer population had exploded because there were fewer wolves and lots of grazing because of all the logging. And so I remember that viruses came into and the deer population and killed millions of them at one point. And that's kind of where we're at.
You think that this is like a shot across the bow, in a way, from Mother Nature, letting us know that if we don't pay attention, it could get worse.
Yeah, I think it's guaranteed to get worse. Ironically, we're better prepared than we've ever been.
Yeah.
The nervous system of the internet is in place just strong enough to allow us to use it to intelligently respond to this thing. And we have GPS on every phone. So in China, they can tell if you encountered an infected person.
Now, should we have that here? do you think? Because it seems to me that the American mentality is such that we don't like to give away that much of our privacy.
I think it's going to come down to good old-fashioned Darwinian natural selection.
Yeah.
Those societies that take reasonable precautions will survive stronger than the ones that go based on fear or misinformation. So it's natural selection at work.
Okay, well, let's continue this after the break, shall we? We're going to go to a commercial break for a moment. I'll be right back with Dr. Bruce Damer and Bobby Wilder, who's probably going to have a question or two for Bruce the next segment.
Thank you, yeah.
We'll be right back. Yeah, I guess we're dealing with a little hell right now.
Right.
We have Bobby Wilder and Dr. Bruce Damer on the line, and I believe we have our
and
caller.
And we have a caller known as Mr. Past.
Mr. Past.
Passes this way every now and again.
Mr. Past has a tidbit from the past to share with us.
Is everyone ready for a blast from the past?
We're ready.
I don't know if we're ever ready for you, honey, but...
Bruce, you ready?
Give it our best shot. Well, I appreciate all the guests and all the hosts, my favorite people absolutely in the world, and hearing all of your reflections on what's important now to all of us with what we're going through.
Yes.
But I want to ask you all, looking back to the past, we often hear the references to the great flu influenza of 1917 and 1918.
Yes, it's been mentioned a couple times today, yes.
Exactly. But I would like to ask you, what happened right after the influenza?
You mean the Roaring Twenties?
The Roaring Twenties, yes. Mrs. Future gets it right off the bat. And I just want to say, looking back to the past, everybody be ready, because when we come out of this, we're going to be roaring. We're all ready to party, and I want you guys to know that Raquel is there with us. And we're all going to be coming out with grand style, and the whole world is going to be ready to turn on like never before.
Ah, so we're going to see some pretty good parties after
totally
this.
Totally agree. Uh-huh. We have so much energy, and you can tell it's coming through the media. We have so many people in this country who are just volunteering to do the best they can to help each other out. That's who we are, and that's what we want to celebrate. And I'm very grateful for this moment in time. Even though there's a lot of fear to transcend, there's also a lot of joy because of the new opportunities.
Absolutely. And the transformation is occurring right now. All of the energy is being released.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to want somewhere to go. Wow. And everyone on this radio show right now and everyone who's listening is going to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And millions more.
I like Mr. Past reflecting on the future. That's really good.
That's right.
Thank
because
you.
It's yeah. all just a reflection with now as the center.
Okay.
Whichever way your arrow is pointing, it's from here till then.
Yes,
so
I agree.
When we get going, it's going to be a blast.
Thank you, Mr. Past.
I feel it, Mr. Past. I feel it now.
That's right. And Mr. Past is going to be a part of that blast. And everybody will be celebrating like we've never celebrated before, except for a beat period in the 20s where we really let loose. But even that will seem like a pale reflection when it comes to what we're going to do.
I agree. Recently, like in the last few years, I adopted something for my personal evolution and my mental health, which is I go where I'm celebrated, not tolerated. And that has completely improved my life in every direction. So I would like to share that with the audience. Go where you're celebrated, not tolerated, and push that celebration vibe out to those you love.
Amen, sister.
Well, thank you, Mr. Past.
Absolutely. A good blast. I'm going to let you get on with this wonderful show, but I want to salute Bruce and all the other wonderful people that are doing such great work and let you know I'm there with you guys, as always.
All right.
I'm glad you're here. Always have been.
Yes.
Indeed, on the cruise. Okay, thank you, sir. Great to hear from you.
Yes, truly a blast.
Until then, from the past, this is Mr. Past.
Have a blast out there, buddy.
Well, that's good news from the past.
Well, not only do we have the Mr. Now and Mr. Past, we also have Tim from the Summit. Are you ready for Tim from the Summit?
Sure, bring on Tim.
All right, Tim, welcome to the show, Tim from the Summit.
Well, that last caller in no way sounded like MC Hager or MC Hammer with Rock Hill. No way.
Doesn't sound
possible.
Like him at all.
Yes.
But he's my neighbor. I love him and his wife. But hey, guys, I'm deeply involved in feeding the homeless population.
Oh,
and
good.
With Food Not Bombs. And you know what? There is so much money available right now through the state and the local governments to get all the homeless people off the streets of Santa Cruz forever.
Yay!
Absolutely.
All right. Tell us, Tim, how are you helping, and what could people need to know about that?
Well, no, I started the Elm Street Mission 30 years ago. I am the man, and what everyone needs to know is get online, go to the Santa Cruz city manager, her name is Susan O'Hara, and tell her, stop the homeless problem. They're doing eminent domain over the state of Santa Cruz and the state of California, Gavin Newsom. They're putting all the homeless people with 30-day hotel vouchers, and they're going to do eminent domain over the hotels. So, everyone. No, absolutely. If I'm lying, I'm dying.
No, that's good. I've heard of also San Francisco was doing RVs for the homeless.
Everyone get on your email to the city of Santa Cruz, Governor Newsom. All these people sound like in the homeless problem. They have trillions of dollars to do it right now. Absolutely. It can stop here. We can get these people off the street, get them help that they want, and get our... in the 1960s, when I was a kid, this was a beautiful place with all the hippies down on Pacific Garden Mall.
Yeah.
And now it's just an asshole. Let's get our country. Let's get our city back. Okay. Love you, show.
Thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Thank you, Tim.
It's a time to which we can get money to do our favorite projects.
That's true. Well, a lot of the last election cycle was about solving the problem for the homeless. And I know this radio station has been doing a lot to help the Food Not Bombs people, who I've heard do public service announcements for people to come on down and volunteer. I was just reading the shelter in place order from the state. It has a lot of special provisions that are specifically for homeless people. I think it's really true that it's a good time to find a place to be.
So, Bruce, you studied the origin of life for a while, understanding life itself. Now, how old are viruses in the story of life?
Well, viruses could have been in the very beginning.
Really? The first life form?
Yeah, they literally could have been part of the proto-life story of cells going from simpler protocells to living dividing cells. Viruses could have been part of that evolution.
Hmm. Now, viruses vis-a-vis, like I've heard that they're similar to RNA. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they really are. So a virus is a machine that uses some of the machine of cells to trick those cells into making copies of itself. So it can't live on its own.
It's like a parasite.
Yeah, so COVID is this great big circular capsid, if you will, that has all these prongs on the outside, and those prongs trick the cell into taking it in, and then the capsid gets busted up into pieces, which contain the RNA, which goes into the nucleus, which creates more RNA that makes more capsids. So that's how it's actually using the factory of the cell. It's like inserting itself, saying, make copies of me now.
Yeah, it's redirecting the factory to making copies of itself instead of what the cell was making before.
Yeah, and then basically the viruses like coronavirus can actually then cause the cell to break apart. so that the cell releases all of these new capsids into the bloodstream of the body.
Hmm. Wouldn't it be an improvement if the virus went in there and made copies of itself but didn't kill the cell so it could keep on milking it and not killing it?
Yeah, if they're going to take over the building, why don't they keep the building instead of destroying it?
More of a win-win here.
And that's true with things like shingles that live in your nervous system, in your nerve cells forever, and come out with stress and things like that. Herpes is an example, something that just takes up house. Mm. And only when there's stress or some condition, it erupts into it kind of creates damage.
So some diseases have figured this little trick out then, how to live with us.
Yeah, just have to remind people that a virus is 1/70,000th the size of a cell. And it's really, really tiny. It's like a tick.
Have we figured out viral communications at all, how they communicate with each other?
Yeah, it's a complicated story. The work that David Deamer is doing from his new company that spun out of UC Santa Cruz is a way to communicate with viruses. Yeah.
Here, UC Santa Cruz. Yeah, well,
we only have about 20 seconds before the next break. Can you stay on and tell us about it after the break?
Sure, Mrs. Future.
Thank you.
I was kind of curious about that. It's a deep topic, as we were saying. But there's something that I think we all should understand about this, and hopefully Bruce can help bring this out for us to have deeper insights into that.
We want to communicate with the inner virus.
How do they
in all of us?
Yeah, what's this quorum sensing thing, for example? Does that work with viruses as well as bacteria? I don't know. We'll see.
Yes. How can we use our infinite connection to improve the situation?
Be right back. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. We have Dr. Bruce Deamer on. We're talking to him about, right now, the origin of viruses and how they communicate. We have Bobby Wilder on, who's our science correspondent in San Francisco, to add to the conversation. So if you're calling, we're going to take callers in the last 15 minutes. We want to use this 15 minutes to improve our understanding of how viruses work. Bruce, virus communications, what can you tell us about that?
So what's known as the Achilles heel of viruses is what's called messenger RNA. When the virus does its thing where it hijacks the cell and it gets into the nucleus, it instructs the nucleus to make messenger RNA. And this is like a stock ticker tape going out to the newsrooms. Mm. And that stock ticker tape goes out to a machine in the cell called the ribosome to make copies of the virus, its capsid. Mm. And so what you can do is if you can get at that ticker tape, because that's when it's exposed, its message passing is exposed, and you can send a little piece of scissors to it, which is what Dave is now working on at his company, which spun out of UC Santa Cruz a couple of years ago.
Dave Deamer at UC Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Professor Dave Deamer is my colleague from UC Santa Cruz. And this little short segment of RNA, if you can make that, get it into the cell, it can potentially cleave that messenger RNA, cut that ticker tape like scissors, so that the virus cannot make a copy of itself.
Mm. Now, supposedly zinc is very helpful in that particular activity of chopping down the virus RNA and preventing it from multiplying itself.
I think that that's external. So that would be the virus in the environment, but possibly not when the virus is active within the cell. Because by the time the virus is in the cell and doing its job, it's broken up into smaller molecular machines.
I think Bobby knows. Bobby, you know about that? I think hydrochloroquine works with that, with zinc getting into the cell wall, right?
It's about the zinc ionophores, which actually there are zinc ion gates on the cell surface, the human cells. And when you allow the zinc ionophores like hydrochloroquine and quercetin and looks like also EGCG, which comes out of green tea, that it's also a zinc ionophore. What it does, it allows zinc to enter the cells, and the zinc actually prevents the protease, which is a protein that causes the replication, and it actually blocks that cycle. And so it blocks the replication. So zinc, yes, zinc is normally outside the cell, but if you can get it in the cell, then it will block this whole process.
Okay, good. Okay, so the zinc is an element. Another way of which to interfere with the RNA replication, which is what Bruce was talking about.
Yeah, it has, right. It's a protease inhibitor.
Inside the cell wall. Yeah.
Inside the cell.
Yeah. All right. And Dr. Diemer's new research is available where, Bruce? Is that a new company, you said?
It's a new company called UpRNA, and it's in early research phase. So it's been going for about a year and a half. And I'm actually in contact with venture capital and friends in the drug delivery and design business to see if we can't get a boost to the work, because Dave needs more resources. If you're going to get a major thing like silencing RNA into clinical use in, as a therapeutic, you need up to about $1 billion, and you need animal trials, and you need many years. So I think that it's time to push the go button and try to accelerate this very promising technique.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good time to apply for research funding.
Yeah, there is interest, and Dave can't, their lab is closed at the UC Santa Cruz sandbox right now, so he can't do any work. And this all came out of our Origin of Life work, because in our Origin of Life work, we make small pieces of RNA to get life started, and we do it through wet, dry cycling in hot springs.
Now, can the virus do this to any cell, or is it only specific cells that it knows how to take over?
So viruses can be quite targeted at certain cells, because the cell, as Bobby was suggesting, the cell wall is this armory of systems that are trying to keep unwanted things out.
It's so like the wall around a castle in a way, huh?
Yeah, and virus has to trick the castle guards into saying, let us in, let's bring the drawbridge down. You know, they have to trick it, and they do that by emulating proteins and things like that that trick the cell into pulling them in the castle.
Oh, and they do their damage usually once they're in.
Yeah, if they can get through other defenses and they can get through into the nucleus, yeah.
Does the nucleus have its own defenses beyond the cell wall?
Less so. Less so. All the action seems there. There has been the discovery of actual defenses and antibodies working inside cells that they never saw before. That's a recent discovery. So the cells are smarter and craftier than we know.
Because one of the things they're talking about now, as Bobby just mentioned it before the break, was that antibody research.
Yeah, what is an antibody?
So an antibody is often they're little proteins in the bloodstream that stick to viruses. So they cover up those little spines that I was telling you about earlier, and they prevent the spines from doing the job of getting them past the cell, the castle wall.
Right, they can't get in. And so,
and it blows their cover, huh?
It blows their cover, but often they do get in, and there's some coated with antibodies that don't let them go any further. And then there could be the rare one that doesn't have any of such coatings, and it just gets right through. And all you need is one to get through, and it will reproduce thousands or millions of copies of itself, kill the cell, and then blow up and then release those copies.
Those copies to continue the job.
Yeah.
And the body's defense systems can get overwhelmed by that process. This is what we're seeing happening with that 5% of people.
Yeah, and one thing to understand is the Spanish flu of 1918-19, that virus targeted healthy adults from age 20 to 40. So doctors and teachers and engineers and were killed, not the old or the young. You saw the 1920s begin with millions of orphans. And it was a fairly grim time. My grandmother lost a whole chunk of her family in Canada from Spanish flu. Spanish flu sort of shut Vancouver down in 1919,
Were they doing similar measures back then, like quarantines?
They would prescribe gargling, but they didn't understand what a virus was. They knew about bugs, they knew about bacteria, but viruses had not been discovered. They really didn't know what they were dealing with.
Because it was a new concept to understand. My understanding is that they probably didn't exactly know the mechanism of virus at that point.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't know what the nucleus was. They didn't know about DNA and RNA.
That's true. Those didn't come in until the 40s and 50s, for a lot of the ideas.
Yeah, the discovery by Crick and Watson, the structure of DNA in the 53.
Right. I think they had something, they call it germ theory. back in that day.
And there back were, in the day.
Yeah, yeah, and there were conflicting versions of it. And yeah, it was nebulous, or let's just say an area that was just beginning to be explored with the microscopes and such.
We are so fortunate now that we have the science where we have and the sharing and the internet and everything that we can share worldwide information in seconds. And we're so fortunate that this virus didn't hit us in the 90s, for example.
Yeah, we've come a long way, huh, with the internet and so much information so widely available.
Every human on the planet knew about it within a few days. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and the whole idea of sheltering in place and being able to have so much voluntary compliance in such a short time. I'm sure that the magnitude of the negative effects are going to be so reduced. I mean, obviously, we're still suffering a lot of death and infections and everything, but the word got out, and so many people paid attention so quickly.
And you'll see the countries that responded very tightly and in a disciplined manner, and they flattened the curve quickly. This country is going to be in real trouble. We're starting up the hockey stick now, and there's still some states where there isn't shelter in place. There's still beaches open. There's still a lack of discipline and common sense.
Well, there's the congregations that believe in laying out of hands and healing through the power of the divine, and that happens by, in groups in church. And they're in trouble too, wouldn't you say?
Well, and you also have to look at the credibility effect. I mean, look at Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson and President Trump both started out with what I would say is kind of a typical American reaction, a typical person who believes that you can be smart enough to maintain your health without being excessive about it, right? And so they're just like, oh, I'm not going to get sick. I don't get sick. Like a lot of people who think that they don't get the flu, right? And it's not until you start realizing how infectious this is and how many people are getting sick and how sick they're getting that you begin to realize that a lot of people need to modify their behavior. It's sort of like until the data comes in, you think it's normal.
What's good, Ms. Future, is that this whole trend towards science denial and denial of facts and truthful data-based evidence is getting a real... all of that's getting a real pushback, because those who deny it die. I mean, that's that's a natural selection at work.
It shows you how real it is. Huh?
Well, yeah, and you see how the trust is no longer going to people just because you voted for them, but trust is actually going to people who have dedicated their lives to their understanding. Since it's so complicated to know who to believe, the deeper a person's roots are, the more trustworthy they are.
And we may, as a civilization, decide we need smart, competent, level-headed, non-ideological people governing our civilization. And we can't afford ideologues, and we can't afford kind of crazy people, despite how charismatic they might be, despite how they might speak to emotions. We can't afford them. And if you look at the countries in Scandinavia, you know, which has the higher standards of living, it's because they went to a pragmatic leadership, like we had in Canada, Dr. Future.
Yes, we do. Yeah, some interesting stories from Canada I could share with you. But we got to go to a break right now. We're going to take callers for the last 15 minutes. We're talking to Dr. Bruce Damer and Bobby Well there on the line. This is the Dr. and Mrs. Future show. We'll be right back. Got two questions coming in. One regards the antibodies. What's the latest in antibody research with this virus? Is there a potential cure there? I think we started to address that earlier, I think, Bobby, just before the commercial.
Bobby, you want to take that one?
Yeah. I got another one for Bruce here as well.
Sure. There's studies both at Stanford and UCSF here.
Uh-huh.
And Abbott Labs has been getting a lot of exposure, but there are companies... several other companies that are producing a test that can both detect what's called the antigen, which is just the virus itself. And then what you want to really do is be able to test if you have the antibody, which means that not only were you exposed, but now you have created these antibodies, which can attenuate these viruses. Mm. And so there's companies that can produce, it's kind of like a pregnancy test where you take a small drop of blood and you put it on the little sensor stick and then you add this serum on top of it and then you just watch it for 5 minutes and it can detect positively if you have, within 5 minutes, it can detect whether you have the antigen. And then after about a few more minutes, it can detect whether you have the antibodies. And so what this would mean, if you had the antibodies, that means you could go back to work or visit your grandparents and not worry that you might possibly expose them to this virus.
Sure, but can you transfer antibodies from one person to another?
Yes, and that's what they call this. It's called a plasma, convalescent plasma is what it's called. So what it is they take your plasma, which contains these antibodies.
Your blood plasma.
And they can blood plasma, and they can transfer it to somebody else. And all of a sudden, they have the immunity. They can actually, as though they were exposed to the virus, and now they've been cured, and they're not going to expose anybody.
And your own immune system can then regenerate that antibody itself?
Yes, yes.
So you don't have to keep on getting injections of it?
That's correct. And so that's where it seems like it's going. Or you could be exposed, if you did get a vaccine.
Yeah, the classic vaccine approach.
Then the body would
generate its own antibodies.
That's correct. But that might be
18 months
from now.
Right.
But this summer, there should be
the antibody.
The antibodies, and they're producing. And there was a company here in San Diego, and what they did is they looked at the SARS-CoV-1, which was in 2002, and they found 5 antibodies, and they applied this to SARS-CoV-2, which is the recent virus that
we have.
Yeah, the 5
antibodies from CoV-1. Did any of those work in CoV-2?
They said all 5 of them worked.
Really?
So, and they said that they're going to come out with this antibody for everybody this summer, which is pretty incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Well, thanks for that update, Bob. Appreciate it. Now, Bruce, there's a question. Given the advanced tools that we have today, like CRISPR-Cas9 and such like that, is it possible that we could engineer viruses like this?
It's really not my field. I would assume so, because you wouldn't have to use Cas9. I don't think Cas9 would necessarily work. But you would simply culture the virus and subject it to stresses. So, for example, if you gave the virus to animal populations, different ones, they would evolve and you would end up with different viruses. So it is possible, just using evolution, just as we do use evolution when we do animal husbandry and we create a new dog species, we can create a new virus type.
Yeah,
so it's by using evolution. Yeah,
so it's possible. Not that it is, but it's possible that these sorts of things could be engineered given what we know at this point in time. Okay, and we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
Yes, very patient caller, Glenn from Mondo Days. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
Got something for us about the coronavirus?
Well, before I went to NASA Ames and worked under Dr. Cyril Penumbra-Bruma and made a discovery and was going to go on that career, I worked at Stanford Medical Microbiology under Dr. Alfred M. Amkraut. This is while I'm collecting records. Anyway, and it's such a pleasure to hear Bruce, as always, and hear something based upon science over the media.
Yeah, we like science, and you know that.
Yeah.
We're
happy to have Bruce on.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the real deal.
Question?
Pathogens do evolve. They do evolve to keep the host alive as long as possible, unless Trump has changed science.
Changed your understanding of science, anyway.
Yeah, zero. I watched as much as I could of his virus talk, and he referred to the pandemic of 1917 three times, and nobody corrected him. It may have started in 17, but it's the pandemic of 1918. These were doughboys from small towns and farms who were sent to France and planted in trenches, shooting, trench warfare, raining and all that, and dead bodies and rats going in there.
Yeah.
And mold in their socks and shoes, and then they came back, and this happened. I'm shocked.
I read it was spread primarily by military, primarily as they were sent around the country in trains. So
it's such a pleasure to hear, Bruce, because basically the media is pretty much, and the internet, are your one-stop source of this information. You have to be able to wade through it, and if you don't have this stuff, I'm working with the Stanford lab now because I know the guy who set it up. He's an organic chemist, and he's not a microbiologist. But I,
what do you think is the most useful insight?
Did you have a favorite website, for example? Healthy? I mean, yeah, do you?
No, not particularly. Dr. Mercola has come up with some interesting takes, one of which he published something that I didn't trace. Chinese scientists have said this leaked out of the level 4 lab in Wuhan.
Mm-hmm.
Which
so
I heard
you find that to be the most credible story?
You agree, Bobby?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely check out Dr. Boyle's interview with Dr.
That's
Mercola.
The one. That's
yes.
The one.
And yeah, it will just blow your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the one where you have a researcher who talks about how he got into microbiology research when his brother died, and then he traced looking into the coronavirus, and he thinks that it might have been something that researchers were amping up to see, you
to weaponize.
Well, they say to weaponize it or even just to research it. And then once it was kind of really amped up and made more volatile, then it was picked up maybe by somebody who was particularly interested in weaponizing it. But originally, it was just simple researchers looking to see what the connections were between different animal species and different viruses that could cross the zoological line.
He doesn't like the eating bat soup or any of that stuff. I mean, the thing is, I got my job at Stanford Medical Microbiology. My audition was, they watched me while I did sterile technique, which I'd been doing for 2 years already, and I got hired on the spot because I could do it. A lot of people can't. They screw up.
Yeah. I appreciate your input on this. Yeah, we got a couple minutes left. I wanted to hear a little bit more from Bruce.
I agree that it'll get worse in the future.
Yeah. You agree with that, too?
Yeah. Yeah, the second wave is going to be worse.
The second wave of
this coronavirus.
So, Bruce, what can we do to prepare for this?
In 1918, San Francisco prepared, and they didn't get hit until the third wave.
Third wave.
The issue will be for, we have to be on continuous diligence. So if we relax and we start moving, or say there's 20% mass unemployment and people are starting to migrate.
Yeah.
And just like in the Dust Bowl in the 30s, then the population is going to just carry that second or third wave with it. And we lack the discipline to do what we're doing, staying, or the ability. We consider, say, our government is providing so little support for the citizens compared to Canada or Denmark or places. So the people are forced to move and to break their own quarantines. And so then the second wave and third wave are far more deadly, and of course we may have a mutation coming in as well that attacks more healthy adults.
So give us a little ray of light here now. Let's try and give people a way that we transition from fear to opportunity.
How could
we're
this evolve?
We're human beings. We're creative. What can we do?
How can we make our better normal? How can we live a more?
I would stop ordering packages from Amazon centers, which are infected, and it can live for a long time on plastic.
Mm-hmm.
17 days on that princess wine.
I think the key thing is this is a teacher for us, and it's going to teach us about caring for one another, listening to data and science, about this self-discipline, about self-support, about like Burning Man, about self-sufficiency, and it's going to teach us that we can't fall into the traps of fake news and anxiety and things like that. We have to push through it together as a community.
Very good.
Thank you, everybody.
Bruce come back.
All right, we'll bring Bruce back.
Thanks,
promise.
We will do that.
And Bruce, is this event you're doing tonight public, or is it?
Go to my Facebook page, Bruce Damer, and I'm the Levity Zone podcast, and you'll find information.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, Bruce Damer, Levity Zone, Facebook, or Damer.com, I guess you have your website.
Damer.com and Patreon.com/Bruce Damer. It's all published there, too.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bruce, for being part of the show today.
And you too, Bobby. And you too, Glenn, and everybody who called.